Our New Testament lesson this morning comes from 2 Timothy. I give thanks to God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did. I thank him as I remember you always in my prayers, night and day. I remember your tears, and I want to see you very much so that I may be filled with joy. I remember the sincere faith you have, the kind of faith that your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice also had. I am sure that you have it also. For this reason, I remind you to keep alive the gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For the Spirit that God has given us does not make us timid. Instead, his Spirit fills with power, love, and self-control. Do not be ashamed, then, of witnessing for our Lord, neither be ashamed of me, a prisoner for Christ's sake. Instead, take your part in suffering for the good news, as God gives you the strength for it. He saved us and called us to be his own people, not because of what we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. He gave us this grace by means of Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But now it has been revealed to us through the coming of our Savior, Christ Jesus. He has ended the power of death and through the gospel has revealed immortal life. God has appointed me as an apostle and teacher to proclaim the good news. And it is for this reason that I suffer these things. But I am still full of confidence because I know whom I have trusted. And I am sure that he is able to keep safe until the day what he has entrusted to me. Holding firmly to true words that I taught you as the example for you to follow and remain in the faith and love that are ours in union with Christ Jesus. Throughout the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, keep the good things that have been entrusted to you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We've had quite a busy, emotional, at least for some of us, an important worship service together so far. We've celebrated graduates, and we've ordained three of our fellow church members to serve as a deacon. Seemingly, these two celebrations are very different. You might wonder why we planned this way. But yet, if you think about it, both graduation and ordination are about taking a leap of faith into brand new opportunities, into brand new ministries, into brand new adventures. Our graduates are on the verge of a new life, away from the school they've known for so long, leaving friends that they've had for many years, and starting new adventures that they don't even know about yet. As they set about on this new course, meeting new people, it's scary, working to accomplish the next set of goals that they have. They will need great faith and courage to make it. Some days, the good days, everything falls right into place and everything seems so simple. Some days are harder than others. And those are the days when they will need to rely on what they have learned from the past, and the determination and the strength and the faith that has been instilled in them from God, their parents, their families, and this church family. Our new deacons are also beginning a new adventure, and they've said yes to serving in this very important role in our church. At this point, they really don't know what to expect. And they may wonder what they've gotten themselves into. But with faith, they have answered the call. They continue and will continue to need great faith and courage to fulfill this calling that has been put on them by God. Some of the tasks that they'll be asked to do will include hospital visits and phone calls and hospital visits and attend meetings. And it all seems kind of mundane sometimes. Yet it is so very important. Sometimes they'll be asked to make a hospital call when a new baby comes, and that's joyous. And sometimes they'll be asked to serve and minister in the event of a tragic death. The deacons are called to be servant leaders, and none of us know what that means in the coming year, in the coming 2 weeks. They have been asked to serve. And our graduates and our deacons will continue to need our prayers in accomplishing all that God has called them to do. They need your encouragement, your support, as they face unknown and uncharted territory. Right now, I'm sure it feels a little daunting and yet very exciting and hopeful at the same time. But they need you, they need God most of all, and they need courageous faith. Actually, this holds true for all of us in doing whatever we're going to be doing in the coming year. We need courageous faith to be the men and women that God has called us to be, no matter what we're doing for Him, no matter what He has called us to do. Our faith may take us to the uttermost parts of the world, or it may take us to the Candler grocery store, which feels like the uttermost parts of the world sometimes. But God is calling you, He's calling our church to be His presence and to have courageous faith outside these doors, in our community, in our workplaces, in our schools, and in our world. As we've been examining the fundamental principles and core values of our church, we hope that you have learned about what we believe as a congregation so that you can then take that to people and say, here's who we are. Come worship with us. Come and be a part. More than that, we hope that it has strengthened your faith so that you know what you believe and can share that with the world who needs to know Jesus. Courageous faith in our list of core values is described as this: while we seek to be good stewards of all that God has entrusted to us, we realize that following Christ is not a path for the faint-hearted. We try to respond in faith when we feel led by God to do something beyond our comfort zones. Wait, what? Beyond our comfort zones? I thought God was just calling me right here. Surely He wouldn't call us to do something that we're not comfortable doing, right? Actually, yes. Let's face it. God called men and women throughout history to step out of that comfort zone in faith. He called Abraham to leave his home country. He called Esther to courageously become queen. He called David to fight Goliath, and He called Abigail to save the day. Now that's a shameless plug for Bible school, because that's one of our stories in Bible school, Abigail Saves the Day. So come to Bible school, sign up. Let's face it, sometimes we know what God is calling us to do, but it's not always easy to listen. Yet He keeps nudging. That Holy Spirit keeps talking to us and nudging our souls and telling us what He wants. All right, I'm going to show you, they're going to show you, a humorous clip that might summarize our feelings sometimes on what it feels like when God is calling us to do something we might not want to do.
Penalty early on could be very costly, because instead of punting from deep in their own territory, they're already at the midfield right now.
Yeah, and that's just that quick throw. Again, it's not a three-step drop. You just...
Dad, what are you doing? I'm watching this.
Genesis 6:14. Gen 614.
Joan, do we have a Bible anywhere?
Genesis 614. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Gopher wood.
Gopher wood. Get it?
Go.
Well, it's not really gopher wood. I just like the wordplay.
No, it's pine and maple that was clear cut from this valley to make room for all those houses.
Excuse me, do I know you?
Not as well as I'd like. I see you got my housewarming gift.
That was you? You sent those? What are they for? Hey.
Genesis chapter 6, verse 14. I want you to build an ark.
You want me to build an ark?
Yes.
So that's why the tools, and you are responsible for the wood?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's just start over. Ha ha! Hello? I am Evan Baxter.
Baxter, born June 15th, 1962. 8 pounds, 11 ounces. Mother's Carol Ann Parker. Father Eugene Evan Baxter.
Ooh, you have internet access. Very impressive. Do you also have cable?
You're a clean freak. You care much too much about your outward appearance. Your left nipple is a quarter inch higher than your right nipple. And when you were a little boy, you were afraid of Gumby.
Who are you?
I'm God.
You're God.
Yes. And I want you, Evan Baxter, to build an ark.
Okay, you know what? This conversation is a little thing I like to call over. But I gotta get going. Because, frankly, I have an ark to build. Busy, 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 busy. Nice meeting you. Take care. Oh, and... All right. See you later. Get off, Evan. It's over. That case is gone. I am successful. I'm powerful. I'm handsome. I'm happy. Successful, powerful, handsome. Evan!
Hey.
Oh!
Clear it out, son. This is the beginning of wisdom.
How did you get in here? Come on! Call the cops.
Oh, no need. Look. There's one right there. Right there.
Officer! Carjacker! Carjacker! The car!
Oh!
Careful pulling out. Pedestrian in the crosswalk.
Sometimes we run away, don't we? As I watched this clip, I was thinking, you know, it might be nice if God would show up at our house and tell us exactly what he wants us to do. Sometimes I just need that point-blank command. This is what I want you to do, Melissa. Well, maybe he doesn't need to stop by the house. Maybe he could send a text or an email. I mean, face-to-face might be hard. Or he could just call, and I might answer the phone. But if we knew what God wanted from us, beyond a shadow of a doubt, would we listen? Do we listen? Because he does keep gently calling. He keeps on asking to do great things that are impossible sometimes, that are scary sometimes. Discerning God's call in our lives and determining what he's asking us to do is one of the most difficult aspects of our faith. We question what we feel, we question what we cannot see, we question what we hear or don't hear, and we doubt our own abilities to accomplish what God is calling us to do. Self-doubt and questioning of God leads to ignoring his call. And it's exactly where Satan wants you to be. Sometimes what God is asking us is crystal clear, and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt what he's saying. But we just don't want to. Quite frankly, we might be a little skeptical and afraid and hesitant. We think we can run. or get out of it somehow. And eventually he will stop calling and asking because he'll find someone else who can do that task. Courageous faith is not something that comes easily, and it's not something everyone is going to possess. It's a characteristic, though, that we need if we're going to be what God has called us to be. If we look back at our scripture that Phil read a few minutes ago, we can learn a few things about courageous faith from Timothy. Here are five lessons that I picked up from that. In verse 5, it says, "I was reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first lived in your grandmother and in your mother Eunice now, and I'm sure lives in you." Courageous faith is contagious. And it's passed down from generation to generation to generation. If we have courageous faith, our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our family will know. And they will hear about it. And prayerfully, they will emulate it. Timothy's faith was well known. And now we know about his faith because of that. Let your friends and family see your courageous faith in action. It will change your life and it will change theirs. Second lesson from verses 6 through 7. Those verses say, "For this reason I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and love and self-discipline." Our faith is a gift, and it needs to be guarded because it has been entrusted to us. Your individual faith is a gift from God. And he didn't give you that gift for you to sit on it and do nothing with. He didn't give you that gift to be afraid, to be timid, to sit back and wait. He wants you to boldly show God's power and love through your courageous faith. It's given to you for a purpose, not to be set aside. The third lesson, from verses 8 through 9, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony about your Lord, for me his prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace." Our faith will not always be an easy gift to manage. It will produce suffering at times. Paul was put in prison because of his faith. But he writes to Timothy to not be ashamed and do not give up. He was saved and you are saved for a holy calling, even when the world doesn't understand or agree. The fourth lesson from verses 10 through 12. "But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Lord Jesus, who abolished death and brought life. For this gospel I have been appointed as a herald, an apostle, and a teacher, and it is this reason I suffer." Our faith is not just for our benefit, it's for the benefit of the kingdom of God. It is to make Jesus Christ known in the world, in our community, wherever we go. He has overcome the grave. And that's the good news. We need to share the hope of Christ courageously. Because there are people out there in the world, all around us, who think this is all there is. That this life is the end. They don't know what we know. There is a great day coming. And your courageous faith will boldly proclaim that the day is coming when Jesus will overcome all the sickness, all the death, all the suffering. And the fifth lesson, we're reminded again to guard the good treasure that has been entrusted to us by the Holy Spirit. God is calling you to put your good works, your good faith, and your good works to use. He's calling us to do something on His behalf. When we pray and discern and eventually figure out what it is God is calling us to do, our faith is made stronger. Sometimes that takes a while. Sometimes it takes just being patient and waiting because God's doing some kind of work in our life. But we're not left here to do all this alone. He promises the gift of the Holy Spirit, who teaches and helps and directs and guides. He's promised us courageous faith if we will just depend on Him. So how is your courageous faith today? God is asking each of us to examine our lives, to see where we stand with Him, with our faith. Maybe He's calling you to do something and you don't quite know what to do. Maybe you know what He's calling you to do and you've been afraid or hesitant or just don't even know where to start. Whatever the case, God is calling each of you to something. Maybe He's calling you to become a member of the church, or maybe He's calling you to some specific ministry in the church or in the world. It takes courage to step out and to say, "I'm here, God, use me." It takes courage, it takes courageous faith. But if you'll listen to that voice and come and allow Him to use you, He will change your life and He'll change the life of everyone around you. Let's pray. God, You have called us to be courageous, to step out of our comfort zones, to step into places that we don't even know sometimes why we need to do what we need to do. Help us to be strong, courageous, to live according to Your purpose that You have entrusted to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may proclaim Jesus Christ risen and Jesus Christ overcoming death, and that our church may proclaim that to its community through each of you. For it is in Your Son's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.